This morning's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. Fullness of life in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk with him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning's gospel lesson comes from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 11. Living the abundant life today. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen."
This morning, we sang the opening hymn, "Sweet By and By," together. I know many of you are familiar with this public domain and classic hymn. It's a beautiful song about everlasting fellowship in heaven and afterlife. Simply, the title, "Sweet By and By," means an unspecified pleasant time in the future, specifically referring to heaven or life after death. The term "by and by" originally means soon or after a while. So adding "sweet" highlight a joyful and comforting anticipation of the future. This song might be one of the most favorite hymns to be sung, mostly at funeral services. The words of this hymn were written by Sanford Fillmore Bennett and music by Joseph Philbrick Webster in 1867, and they were both American musicians. And this American hymn was so well known and so popular internationally that I remember when I was growing up in Korea during 1960s and 70s, this hymn was very popular among Christians. Of course, it was a Korean version. This hymn might be still one of the most cherished hymns among many Christians in Korea and Korean Americans during Sunday worship services and other services, especially at various funeral, memorial, or celebration of life and death services. However, somehow, surprisingly, despite of the hymn's popularity and hopeful message, our current United Methodist hymnal did not include this hymn when the 1989 edition was published. In my pastor's study, I also have two older editions of the Methodist hymnals, 1932 and 1964, in the bookshelves and I checked them both. Neither one had the hymn "Sweet By and By." I don't know why Methodist hymnals did not include this hymn, which became so popular among most American Christians since the release of the hymn. But one of my guesses might be that this hymn's focus and topics are too much on afterlife rather than pursuing social justice, perpetual peace, and inclusive love for everyone and every laborer here and now in society. I guess neglecting and ignoring the hardship of American people, especially the working class, those manual laborers, rather than ministering to them or caring for them, might not be compatible with John Wesley's faith and practice that became the foundational theology and the Christian life of Methodism. Anyhow, this song's refrain goes like this. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on the beautiful shore, by and by. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, right? We understand that in the early 1900s of U.S. history, many, if not most, U.S. workers' welfare was largely unprotected, characterized by long hours, like 55 to 60 hours for an average manual laborer, high accident rate, and an absence of government-mandated safety net or insurance. It was obviously pretty sad and depressing working conditions. So, at that time, a parody song of this hymn, "Sweet By and By," came along and became popular. The Swedish-American songwriter Joe Hill, the organizer of the Industrial Workers of the World, IWW, wrote the song "The Preacher and the Slave" in 1911 as a parody of this Christian hymn, "Sweet By and By." The lyrics of this parody as a protest song criticize religious groups such as Salvation Army at that time for telling poor workers to accept hardship on earth in exchange for a reward in heaven. The famous refrain chorus of the parody song includes these lines. 1, 2, 3. You will need by and by, in that glorious land in the sky, way up high. Work and pray, live on hay, you get pie in the sky when you die. That's a lie. Wow, oh, that's a lie must be the highlight of the point of this parody song. Well, actually, it might be a half lie and half truth, but for those who are oppressed and abused here and now, this line was definitely a lie. Actually, you're going to get more than pie when you die, right? Here, the phrase "live on hay" means to endure extreme poverty, hardship, or subsisting on very meager and cheap food. Yes, these expressions, "live on hay, you get pie in the sky when you die," literally and metaphorically describes the harsh impoverished reality of working class people who are told to accept their present suffering in exchange for an illusory reward in the life, afterlife. So at that time, the expression pie in the sky when you die was coined for the first time. Interestingly, even today, this idiom, pie in the sky, is generally defined as a plan, hope, or promise that is pleasant to think about, but very unlikely to ever happen. And unfortunately, still today, certain modern religions, including even some Christian denominations, continue to teach this kind of a pie in the sky when you die promise, focusing more on afterlife, heaven, and eternity than establishing God's kingdom through pursuing God's justice, peace, and love here and now through the community and society. By the way, as you all are aware, tomorrow is Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everyone. Labor Day in the U.S. began in 1882 and became an official federal holiday in 1894. Nevertheless, sadly, those workers' working conditions and their welfare did not seem to improve enough as hoped and anticipated during the 1900s and still maybe today, because the Pie in the Sky song came out in 1911. Anyhow, one of the most important lessons from this song, Pie in the Sky When You Die, is that our faith should be active here and now, especially through our loving and caring actions rather than in the future tense. In the Gospel of John, Jesus emphasizes the abundant life here and now. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus focused much more of his teaching on living an abundant life right here and right now than on describing the afterlife. Yes, his main focus was on the present kingdom of God, not the pie in the sky when you die, but down to earth, here and now. Jesus taught that God's rule is active in the present world, not just a future place. He promised abundant life with deep purpose, peace, and joy today through a close relationship with God and loving relationship with one another. And he practiced his love through daily actions. He spent his time healing the sick, feeding the hungry, and telling people to love their neighbors dearly. Moreover, from this morning's Colossians text, Apostle Paul urges us to live the life in Christ here and now. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, God's ultimate concerns through the Bible are more on our new, transformed, and loving life in Christ here and now than on the thereafter, hereafter. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to deny, dismiss, or reject any concepts, ideas, and expectations of heaven, afterlife, eternity, and all other future realities. All these heavenly terms after our death are under God's complete control and everlasting reign as God promised throughout the Bible. Therefore, all we have to do is trust in God's faithfulness, grace, and love that embrace us beyond our physical earthly death. Apostle Paul already proclaims, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, as long as you are in Christ Jesus right now, you don't need to worry about anything beyond your death. You will be in God's eternal embrace, peace, and comfort. However, right now and right here is this imminent life that you are to make it as more meaningful and joyful as possible, rather than heavily dreaming of pie in the sky when you die. We are called to live out an abundant life in Christ by sharing God's love with everyone around you, here and now. Therefore, as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, in order to enjoy our present life as a meaningful, grateful, and joyful life, we are called to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' last words as one of the most important commandments is recorded in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. My sisters and brothers in Christ, the main and essential spiritual power source for all disciples of Christ is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Simply put, through all the means of grace, such as prayers, Bible reading, worship, witness, outreach, and more, you must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, because you already have your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit is already dwelling in you and working in your life. But you just need to rediscover the presence of the Spirit and to reignite the fire of the Spirit for the rest of your life, here and now, and beyond. And we, disciples of Christ, are able to practice acts of faith because of this power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to close my sermon with a story. During a violent storm on a rocky coast, a massive lighthouse suddenly lost its main power source. The lighthouse keeper looked out at the dark, crashing waves and knew ships were in immediate danger. He didn't have a giant backup bulb. Instead, he grabbed a box of small matches and lit one tiny candle. He then handed that candle to a young boy and told him to run up the winding stairs to the top tower. The boy looked at the tiny flame and said, "Sir, this little light is too weak. It cannot pierce through this massive dark storm." The keeper smiled and replied, "Just carry the fire to the top. The lenses will do the rest." The boy obeyed. He protected the tiny flame and carried it to the very top of the tower. The moment he touched that small candle to the wick inside the great lantern room, the massive glass lenses surrounded it. Those custom-shaped mirrors took that single fragile spark, multiplied its power thousands of times over, and threw a piercing, brilliant beam of light miles out into the dark ocean, guiding every lost ship safely back to the harbor. My fellow disciples of Christ, by ourselves, we are just like that small candle, fragile, weak, and easily blown out by the storms of life. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit acts as the great lens of God. The Holy Spirit takes our small, ordinary lives, amplifies our efforts, and empowers us to shatter the darkness of this world. Step out in faith this week. Carry your spark. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Yes, we, disciples of Christ, are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.